Blog Talk Radio.
So Ashley Judd is Paul Judd's wife. More people than Nate Judd. Yo, what's up, people? It's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp, May 12, 2022. What's happening, folks? Hope wherever you're at, you're in good spirits, good health. Hope you got good energy around you. Hope you you're feeling good. Hope your health is good. If it's not, then I pray that it gets better. I pray that you're feeling better. I need to get somebody on here real quick because I want to know what the effect is of adding a speaker. And if you guys are, let me know if you hear feedback. I want to see how this goes. Is that Blur? Blur just called in. I want to see if this is working. See, Blur, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, I hear you loud and clear, man. You sound normal on my end.
I sound normal on your end?
Yeah, I don't hear nothing. I hear you said feedback or whatever. I don't hear none of that.
Well, I'm trying to mess with a speaker so that the output is a little louder. So I just wanted to see how it would affect, but right now it's not doing what I wanted to do, so I'll try that later. So, all right, let me just keep finishing the intro. Welcome to the off-ramp show for the people by the people that invite the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's popping in the streets, and see what you find interesting, whether it be politics, sports, love, movies, culture. You know, you call in, and we rap about it. Me and my brothers and my wife, we started this show because, you know, we're tired of people just talking on the Internet. Twitter fingers get stitches, too. So, you know, you got something on your chest, call in and say it. But I guess it's just as bad as the Internet because I don't use anybody's real names because I don't want anybody to get fired. So I guess it's just as good. But at least you get, it's just as bad as the Internet. You still got the anonymity. That's not a word. Anonymity? Anonymity? Ooh. Anonymity.
You finding Nemo ass nigga.
Blur's the only one who still uses the N-word on here, but we try to refrain from.
Wait, and I'm not the only one. Hold up. I try to cut back too, but I ain't the only one.
We try to hold back our racial epithets on the show, but you know, we're not perfect, so we enjoy each other. So if you want to call in, feel free, 929-477-3975. If you call in, try not to be racist like the caller last week. But if you are, you know, we'll give you your time to shine until I feel like it's time to meet you. Got a lot of topics to discuss tonight. It's been a busy week. A lot of things happen, a lot of things in these streets. But, you know, we'll get to all those and more. We'll see what the people got to say. DJ C-Sign, welcome to the offer. How you doing tonight?
Good evening. Doing good.
DJ C-Sign just walked in from work. She's got her face in a bunch of meat. So she might be incapacitated for a minute or two. I got my brother Blur and the Lion Blur. Welcome to the off-ramp. As always, my brother, how you doing tonight?
Man, I am great, blessed, and highly favored as always, man. Feeling good. I actually wanted to start something off. Not nothing that we got to dive into. I know it's something we talked about last week or the week before. I just had to, like, go back and think of it. My favorite rap album of the year, Jim Jones.
Favorite rap album of the year, Jim Jones. Is that the DJ Drama one?
The one with Drama. It was funny because I was trying to think, like, after that, whatever we talked about it on that day, I was really trying to go back. I thought it was Chomp or Chomp 2, but you said that was last year. So it really made me think. And I was like, there was one album that I kept going back to. And I was like, I was listening to the Jack Harlow joint, in fact. And I was like, man, let me cut this off. And I went to Jim Jones. And I was like, this got to be it. This is it, because I keep going back to it.
All right. So you go back to the Jim Jones. What's it? We set the trends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good album. Look, Jim is like, my only comparison is The Game, where I don't feel they're in my top 50 rappers, not even close. But when it comes to albums, I don't think there's many people who put together better albums than that. Like, nothing that they do ever sounds bad. Even if it may not be my favorite at the moment, Jim Jones and The Game never make anything bad.
I might have to go back to Jim Jones' discography. The Game, I think, and I might have missed some of them, but for the most part, I think I might agree with you on The Game. The Game puts out, like, he knows how to put together, like, a quality project where it's more highs than lows on it. I feel like Jim, and I might have to go back to Jim earlier stuff, because Jim wasn't the best rapper when he first started. Like, before Ballin', like, he was still trying to find his footing.
Bro, look, I tell you what, Jim Jones put Trey Songz on. Like, I was a huge early Jim Jones fan. Like, I knew Jim Jones' first two albums front to back. But you're right, he was never a great rapper. But the album still sounded good. Like, it's one of, and I don't know if that's Max B. I don't know if that's, you know, Cameron Help. Shout out to Harlem. We got New York, New York in the building. New York, New York, welcome to the off ramp.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glad to be here. You up?
Always, always. But yeah, Blur, I don't think even Jim Jones never made a bad album. The Ballin' album to me, what one was that? I used to know all his albums by heart. That was his worst one to me, and it had his biggest hit on there. But, like, all of Jim's albums that a lot of people, like, that there wasn't a bunch of singles on, like, all of them are fire. And The Game, I feel the same way. The Game does not have a bad album. I'll say it. The Game has a better discography than 50 Cent.
You know what? That sounds like it's saying a lot. It's not. It's not. And you already know I'm not the biggest 50 fan. I feel like a lot of people will kill 50 in the verses. And that's because I'm not – I mean, his career wasn't long. I mean, I don't know how many albums put out, but, nah, he don't – I don't think saying that he has a better discography than 50 is really saying all that much.
I mean, but the thing is that 50 just has that one classic. That Get Rich or Die Trying was a masterpiece. But yeah, I think The Game, but see, and the question is, I don't think Game has a classic album. Collection of song wise, I think he blows out 50. Now, if we add in the G-Unit album, it gets a little tougher because that G-Unit album is a classic. And if we give that to 50, that's two classics that 50 got. The Game's none. But if we're still just putting together a collection of songs, like Game has about like 50 probably has 5 great songs and about 10 good songs. Game probably has 50 good songs. Which is weird.
Game been rapping for a long time. He puts out a lot of music, so I might even say he might have more than 50, like, good songs. Game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not really counting because Game's got a lot of albums. Even that double disc he dropped, it was fire, man. Like, he had Ice Cube in there. Like, I think I was playing it on one trip to DJ C. Sire, and she was falling asleep, and I threw on the Game's discography, and she's like, oh, this ain't bad. She would never listen to it any otherwise.
I like The Game.
She makes me listen to rock music, which if you saw my Instagram post.
That is not
true. So, Yeah, Jim Jones' first album, classic, though. He made Trey Songz the star that he is.
I don't know about that.
It's the reason why, yeah, it's the reason why Trey Songz started beating up people, you know, hanging out with Bloods.
Yeah, someone's gonna say, I don't know. I think that was at Virginia right there.
Yeah, it could be Virginia. Chris Brown and Trey Songz might be a little problems in the Virginia water. But yeah, I'm telling you, Blur, Jimmy started Trey Songz's career, man.
I do remember hearing Trey Songz on the track with Jim Jones, but I feel like I knew about Trey Songz before that. Was that before, like, when he was mad skinny, whatever his big song that used to be on BET all the time?
I can't help but wait. That shit is a fire track, though. I go, oh, geez. That shit was fire when it came back out.
See, I think that was, you know what, I want to say that was before Summertime in Miami.
Yeah, I think it was.
But I don't think it was as big as Summertime in Miami. Maybe Summertime in Miami was just my joint. Had the Bonneville drop top. The sunroof that wouldn't close. So I had to put a bag over it when it rained. But I feel like
the Yeah, man, I remember, Miami, like, that used to be like he was walking around Virginia, I think, and I was like, all right, this dude could kind of sing, man. This is when he was skinny and had the cornrows.
Yo, that was Jim Jones and him, man.
But dude could sing. I remember hearing, I definitely heard that before I heard him on the joint with Jimmy.
Yeah, I just don't know the dates. They kind of all, it was all that same era, so I can't really tell which one was first. Because, you know, sometimes songs are out before they even get popular. But I think they were all within the same year. So I think whoever was backing Trey Songz definitely had a plan. Speaking of music, man, New York, did you want to jump in any of that conversation with Jim Jones and Game?
Hold up, I missed it. What was the actual question that happened?
It wasn't really a question. Me and Blur were just discussing. I said that the Game has a better discography than 50 Cent. That's how the conversation started. Did you agree?
I mean, I can agree. Game, he's fire. He's fire. Any shit that he put out, he's fire. I ain't gonna hold you. And he's like, I think he's not, I won't say a better rapper, but he's a better lyricist than 50. 50, you know what I mean? He got hit. All his stuff is, oh, man, his stuff is fire. I ain't gonna hold you. What's it called? Get Rich or Die Trying. You can't even argue with that. The one before that, even what's it called? The Massacre too. That's fire too. But Game, yeah, he putting out fire. He putting out fire, to be honest with you. And he's still going. He's still going too.
Now, Power of a Dollar, I agree. Power of a Dollar.
But that was like just like mainstream. But that album still did good. It's so good though.
See, I don't count sales, though. I'm pretty sure Taylor Swift has a lot of sales, but I don't think any of her albums are good. But that's just because of me. Well, I can't say that because I haven't listened to it. I'm Team Kanye on that.
Nah, I'm looking. I'm looking.
Best videos of all time.
What video was that?
Team Kanye? I don't know. Whenever Kanye jumps in front of Taylor Swift. I don't know what Beyonce... I don't know what Beyonce video he was talking about. I think it was a video that I thought sucked.
It was the video that you thought sucked. Because it wasn't that great of a video.
Because it was just like black and white.
She was
shaking her ass, right?
She wasn't even shaking her ass that much. That would have made the video better.
But is that the video that won?
No, that's the video that Kanye thought should have won.
Yeah, but that's the one he was talking about. It's the Single Ladies video, right?
Yeah,
that video was
good. It was good. That was a good video.
wasn't better than
it
that.
It didn't deserve to win whatever award. So was that MTV? It didn't deserve to win the MTV award for video, best video of the year.
Did you see Taylor Swift's video?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I actually remember seeing the Taylor Swift video, and not saying that that was great, but, I mean, it didn't impress me. Like, Beyonce didn't impress me either, so.
If Missy put out a video that year, then Missy should have won. I don't know if Missy did. I don't know what year it was. But neither one of them.
Yeah, I don't think Missy was putting out music at that point.
I don't know. Missy had put out an album on the sneak like 3 years ago. And it was good.
And it was good. She came back, even with the video, she came back doing some new stuff. Oh, my God. Say what? Look, Missy Elliott.
See, I don't think Missy gets enough attention now just because she's skinny now. Like, I think people like fat Missy. I don't think anybody likes skinny Missy, which is a shame because skinny Missy be rocking. So, okay. So that was that useless conversation. And then I went and said, but okay, so let me ask you if you agree with this, New York. I said 50 Cent has one classic and Game doesn't have any. Do you agree with that?
I can't say that because I think for me the documentary was a classic. It wasn't as much as a classic as Get Rich or Die Trying, but I still consider the documentary a classic to me.
That's funny. That's probably my least favorite Game's album. I think the
Hold on. Which one you?
Hold
okay,
on.
Okay,
Doctor
Advocate.
You said this
the
first
documentary?
One, documentary was. You said that was a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's his worst one. I think Game's one of them artists whose albums gotten better over time.
No.
I
could agree with that.
I think Doctor's Advocate is as close to a classic as he got. Man, my Philly boys again, they ass whooped. It's been a good season. Okay. And I think that's just kind of where we ended the conversation. We didn't get too deep. I didn't really get too much into it. But the reason why I thought about it is the big news this week is, you know, Kendrick Lamar's dropping tomorrow. Yo, Blur, you looking forward to the album?
Yes and no, and I know that sounds crazy because I'm not the biggest Kendrick fan. I think he tries to do too much, but when he puts something out that I like, I really like it. So I don't know. It's like I guess I say hit or miss. I think for me, it's more misses than hits. But the hits, like when he hits on one that I really feel, I really be feeling it.
Hmm. So what are misses for you?
I don't want to say his last album. What was the one that he won the award for?
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Hated it.
Okay. So that's one out of four.
I gotta go back through the see what was on which album. I'm trying to think what was on which album. I know I hate it. The one, so after he got snubbed, and what was the white boy who took his album? Who won for him?
Macklemore.
So Macklemore won the year to Pimp a Butterfly was supposed to win, allegedly.
No,
he beat him out. He beat out Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah.
And then to Pimp a Butterfly came out, and Kendrick got all that the hype over that one. I hated To Pimp a Butterfly. I don't think there was a single song on there that I was feeling. But then Damn came out, and I fucked with Damn.
What?
Hold on. DJ Husana, I give you a chance to rebuttal Blur's terrible music taste. But finish your thought, Blur. DJ Husana yelled in my ear after you said
I heard her, King Kunta was like, might be the best one on that album, and I wasn't feeling it. Like, he tries to do too much. I don't say he tries to do too much, because clearly there's people who love the...
No, finish your thought on Damn. Give a whole synopsis. Damn. I like the synopsis you was given. So finish what you thought was on. We'll start over with Damn because I got yelled in my ear after Pepper Butterfly.
Damn, I loved. I fucked with Damn. Like, it had multiple tracks on there that I was like, yo, these are repeats. Like, yo, I'm going right back to this joint, like, right now. Like, Damn stayed in heavy rotation for me for a long time. In fact, I think I still go back to some songs on there. That was, what's the name of the song with Rihanna?
Loyalty.
I can't think of it. What was it? Loyalty? Yeah, that I still go back to that. That was a great song. Like, that gets played out of me, like, in almost any scenario. If I'm just in the crib, if I'm in the car, if I'm running, I'll listen to that one. I don't know if I do it in the gym, but, like, I could go back to Damn at any point, I think, and just ride out. And even the songs that I might not still be feeling to this day, they not skips for me. So, yeah, Damn was a classic one to me. And what was after that one?
There hasn't been.
That was a classic, right? Oh, the Black Panther soundtrack was cool. It's a soundtrack, so I don't know how to really count it. They had that one, I mean, obviously the song from the Black Panther soundtrack, but yeah, that was like a big album for me. Good Kid, Mad City was cool. I kind of liked it, kind of didn't, but yeah, so it was like hit or miss. I hated the Pimp a Butterfly, though.
What about Section 80?
And see, so this is the thing with Section 80, why it's hard for me to judge, because I'm not saying I was influenced, but by the time I heard it, like, it was already, like, a big deal. And so I was like, okay, let me hear it out. And it was, like, a lot of misses on that one, too, because it was, like, wordy. Like, all right, man, I know you got a lot of syllables. Like, your mouth don't get tired. Cool. Where's the hook?
Oh.
Like, where's the quotable, like, the bridge, like, and I'm sure he was spitting. I don't remember every song on there. I'm pretty sure he was spitting some, like, hard-ass shit on there. But if you ain't making it fun to listen to, then I ain't really trying to hear it.
All right. So DJ C-Sire is dying to get in here. This might last 2 hours the way you were disrespected DJ C-Sire's thing. DJ C-Sire,
so hold on, just to end that thought on you, Blur, so are you looking forward to the album tomorrow or no?
Yes, I'll say yes. I am looking forward to it because I'm hoping he gives me more of the stuff I like. Like, was it Waterfall the name of his song, whatever that's called? Like, that shit was dope. I want to hear more of that. I don't want to hear more of the Pimp a Butterfly. I'm not trying to hear too much Afrocentric revolution. Like, come on, man. Summertime.
Right. Summertime. I like it. DJ C-Sire, you looking forward to Kendrick tomorrow?
Yes, I am. And that's really all I'm going to say. I don't want to rebuttal. No.
Why? That's the point of the talk show. Tell Blur, I know he defended you last week when the white man was calling you a bitch, and that's your man, and you love your brother. But go at him right now. Tell him his music tastes are trash.
I mean,
and the fact that he called
To Pimp a Butterfly
trash hurt your heart. And the fact that he said Good Kid, Mad City was so-so is disrespectful. Let him have it.
Look, I think...
No, tell him, Blur, your taste ain't shit. Thank you for ready to defend me. Blur was walking back and forth in his crib, ready to tussle with an internet troll.
I do appreciate that. I appreciate that.
While your husband was just sitting here laughing at the greatest time in the world.
The utmost respect for that. Thank you.
You can't walk away if you're talking to Blair.
I definitely disagree. I mean, but I guess, you know, if that's his taste, that's his taste. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I don't know. What music we just talked about? Your favorite album of the year is Jim Jones.
Don't disrespect Jimmy.
I'm not disrespecting Jim Jones. But I guess it's just interesting to me that if you can appreciate, you know, and I know you didn't say all Jim Jones album. I know Beach Bum Guns said, you know, they're all good. That
Jimmy got
when
hit.
You listen to something that I guess
I'd personally consider, but I think a lot of people agree, quality music, quality rapper, quality lyrics, and where I think what Kendrick does is it is entertaining, and it still makes you think because you can listen to it on different levels, depending on where you are at a certain time. So it's funny or it's to hear that you don't think any of it's entertaining because it's definitely a lot of, I mean, to me, tracks that, you know, you can take it at real surface level and still enjoy. And you don't have to, you know, and just because he's saying something that's, you know, Afrocentric about black people that you just automatically think is boring or automatically think is not something that you can still kind of party out to or you know what I'm saying? So it's just odd to hear. And then Trying Too Hard, I mean, oh gosh, okay, I won't talk about Jim Jones. I don't know.
Talk about Jimmy. I'm a defender.
No, I'm just saying I just don't see that. Yeah, he raps fast. I mean, there's a lot of fast rappers. I mean,
Kendrick?
Yeah.
Kendrick raps fast?
I guess that's what Blur was saying. He's saying it's too, he says a lot of words really
Blur
fast.
Blur don't like rappers that read.
Tongue Twister rap fast? I mean, come on.
Tongue Twister? Who calls him that?
That's original, okay? I'm OG, okay?
New York has no idea who Tongue Twister is.
Yeah, he can figure it out. I know.
Hold on. Hold on. I got to pop in and talk my shit. No, I remember Twister back in the days. Well, what was it? He was with Do or Die back in the day, right? Or am I bugging?
Nah, you're right.
You're right. Oh, damn.
Yeah,
good
yeah,
call. Shit.
I remember. No, I remember because that's why, because I listened to Bone Thugs and Harmony. I remember the beef between Bone Thugs and Harmony and Twista. They were trying to figure out who came up with the style of rap. I remember Twista. Hold on.
See?
Right. New York remembers Twista. No one remembers Tongue Twister.
Okay, well, I do.
So, New York, what's up?
Common sense.
And I got my man Casino on the line.
I'm going to get you.
Oh, my God. Right, we're not going to go through your backpack of this. New York, you looking forward to the Kendrick guy? Oh, so DJ C-Tire, just to end your thought on, are you looking forward tomorrow? Like, is it a first, like when I take you to work in the morning since my truck is broke down? Are we listening to Kendrick Lamar or are we listening to Sway in the morning?
Depending on what NPR is talking about, it would be Kendrick.
Depending on
what the article or what the segment is.
So you're excited for Kendrick tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, New York, man, you excited for K-Dot tomorrow?
Yeah, but before I get into that, I think I missed the Jim Jones conversation. I agree with you. I don't think Jim Jones has like a bad album other than I think the Hustlers, Product of My Environment. I think that was a little iffy, but I mean, like,
yeah, that was insane.
I'm really impressed how he stepped it up with that album called El Capo that he dropped. It was like a few years ago. I was really impressed, and then he took that album and then just molded himself, and then he's doing all this stuff right now. I'm like, oh my goodness, everything he fired. He even got a song with the Migos now, and everybody else coming out. So I think, yeah, I always defend Jim Jones. He fired. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Kendrick dropping tomorrow. I appreciate rappers actually taking the time out and like years off from the game and then actually have something to talk about and rap about. Everybody don't want to hear everything was current every time coming out, people dropping 2 or 3 weeks, saying the same stuff, repetition over, everybody got the same flow over and over, stuff like that. The thing that I appreciate about Kendrick is he takes time off, he comes back, And he talks about, he actually talks about stuff. No matter if, like, what Blur said, you know what I mean, word for lyrical miracle, all that bullshit or whatever. I'm not trying to hear that. I'm not trying to hear that 2 weeks every time Kendrick drop. I'm not trying to listen to Kendrick two weeks apart from each other. I'm expecting Kendrick to take that time off, come back, and give us a body of work that is different from his last. And I compare that to like battle rappers, because I don't really listen to mainstream artists or mainstream albums and stuff like that. But like that lyrical miracle stuff actually resonates. It resonates. You probably won't get it at that certain type of time, but it will probably resonate with you at a later date. So, I mean, you can listen to it in a moment and stuff like that. It probably won't resonate with you, or you're probably not in a certain type of mood to hear it. But at a certain time, as time goes on, it'll probably hit different when you come back to it, probably like 2 months later, probably like, even like a year later. But I appreciate the artistry that goes into the work of that album. And that's why I'm never going to take that away from Kendrick Lamar. I'm not sure if y'all familiar with Loaded Lux, right? He does his battles. He's a battle rapper and stuff like that. Everything when a battle rapper raps against his opponent, it probably not going to resonate with you at the time that you watching the battle live, but when you come back to it, it's like, all right, well, he wasn't on no lyrical miracle stuff. If you listen to every word and breakdown, I mean, it's an artistry going at it. It's like a certain type of art. I mean, this man is breaking down words over different type of syllables. Just like Kendrick. Kendrick can rap fast, yeah, but it's still an art form of rap. You breaking certain type of syllables down on a beat and the drums and stuff like that, and I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. So I'm definitely looking forward to Kendrick Lamar's album that comes out.
Man, bars. I like it. I like it, New York. Casino, you looking forward to Kendrick's album tomorrow?
For sure, man. A lot of respect for Kendrick. Can always appreciate somebody that not only can you appreciate their body of work, but the person, you know what I'm saying, who's doing it. I didn't hear the conversation about Jimmy, but yeah, I like Jimmy's a lot of his music, but I think he's a sucker as a person. And a lot of these rappers out here. This is sucky, yo. You know, the whole gang banging shit to try and make him look tough. I never respected that shit. You know what I'm saying? He had to hop on that train because he's a sucker as an individual. So I just don't respect that. You know, you're a grown ass man, you try to start gang banging and shit. That shit ain't cool. You know what I'm saying? A terrible role model for the youth too. Terrible role model for the youth. I go a step further because there's a reincarnation of him right now. This young thug dude want to scream out all that YSL, he a gang, he a mob and shit, and now he talking about like it's some LLC and shit. Nah, nigga, you were claiming all that shit in your songs, motherfucker. Now it's time to do that shit. Now it's time to rep that shit, right? And now you go ahead and switch and say it's a social club. Get the fuck out of here, yo. I don't respect none of these motherfuckers who claim that gang banging shit. And it really ain't about that damn life, y'all. So that's my part. Yes, let's give the king of rap his time, because again, we can respect the music and we can respect the person too, y'all.
New York, did you want to rebuttal anything that my man Casino said?
No, I'm just saying he got his opinion. I mean that's how he feel that way, but it definitely is not like some people use that as a tough guy image. It sells. I hate when people wear a flag for fashion and it sells more music. I hate that, but I'm not gonna act like he not official, especially for my experience. I'm not gonna let that fly. But I do respect your opinion. I respect your opinion. All that gangbanger stuff, yeah, it's out the window. People 30, people got families now and all this other stuff. Stick by it, boom, boom, boom. But yeah, I'm not gonna act like he wasn't official.
I mean, look. And I'll say, look, I don't know any of them dudes personally. I'll say that New York has a closer knowledge of the situation than anybody on here. You just have to take my word for it. But Jimmy was rubbing blood in Cameron's first video. And this was before Jimmy was a rapper. So, hey, Casino, I understand your position and why you have that position. But, you know, you can't say that he did that to enhance his career, because he was doing that before his career started. Just factual information. You know,
I know kids grow up. You know, I understand. I understand. See, the point you're making is that okay, when he was really young, he was influenced by pop culture, right? He wanted to be a gangster because he's seen other gangsters out there in the street. Okay, so you're telling me money's a follower, right? Because you went back to the young
boy.
He was doing this. And like, no, let me finish. You went back to how he was doing it when he was such a young boy, when he's in the first camp video. So what you're telling me is that he's easy to be influenced, so he's a follower. And then one negative. And then the second negative, this motherfucker's probably 40 years old now. However old he is, still repping that damn gangbang and shit. Come on, dude. At some point, you got to realize, yo, you grown. You got if you were able to cheat their youth, make some money, claiming all that shit, get a lot of motherfuckers locked up, He probably got more people locked up than he made Thousand Bears, if that makes any sense. He got more people locked up, and now he's grown, and he's still doing that type of shit. He still claims that shit when his back's put against the wall. That's just a suck-ass move, yo. It's a suck-ass
move.
But see, and you can know he lame because who was the last person he associated himself with? They got him on tape. He's still 6'9"? You were 40 years old. You done been played by so many people. And then after all that learning, you choose to associate with somebody like 6'9"? Come on, man. You know he lame, man. Don't even try. He's nobody you want to follow. Tell me anybody who
want to
follow
that
in the battle.
I got to jump in too because I disagree with that too. I disagree with that too. What happened was during that Rico case, he wasn't associated with 6ix9ine. Just like a lot of people, everybody was hesitant to bring 6ix9ine in. 6ix9ine got vouched for somebody that was a real prominent figure within that set, and it just so happened they got all on wiretape. Even Jim Jones wasn't messing with him. He was messing with the big homie from the set, and then
Hey, everybody time out. I'm gonna let everybody get a chance. Look, I love all y'all. We ain't no names on this one.
Mel Murdo.
Let Casino, we let you roll. We let you fire up Jim Jones. Let my man New York respond. When he's done, I'm gonna go to Blur and get his reaction on this. Let my man New York finish. We let you have your moment. Let my man New York finish. New York, keep going.
So they caught the big homie. They caught the big homie on tape because that's what happened. That's what happened with a Rico charge. They caught the big homie on tape talking to Jim Jones. That's what that is. It wasn't everybody from that set wasn't messing with that. Everybody from that set definitely wasn't messing with that, especially with all the gimmicks and everything like that. It just so happened that Jim Jones got caught on that wiretap. That's all that was. You can't say that he associated with him. I mean,
why you want to wiretap tell somebody to violate a sucker? You've been in the game 20-plus years. You think Jay on the phone talking to somebody about, hey, you need to violate some dude from a nobody? He does that.
No,
he
but I get – no.
That's whack shit. That's whack.
No, but I understand. Come on, I understand what you're saying. Look. I don't know wherever you from right now, but from New York lingo, I'm about to violate somebody every time. You can say I'm good. That's the lingo out there. I can say I'm gonna violate somebody, and the violation would be like I'm gonna open the Frank's van. I'm gonna say suck my dick. That's the violation. Or the violation could be like, yeah, let's shoot the fair one. Let's go hand in hand. It depends on the context of what you're talking about. Because at the end of the day, from that lingo, it's not about violation. You need to kill somebody or not. Nah, maybe he need a DP. He need a discipline. He don't understand the lingo. He moving wrong out here. You need to get kicked out the whip. It's different things for the violation. It's different thing for the violation. So you got to put it in context. So at the end of the day, I mean, the feds don't know that, but we know that as certain type of people. But it's same thing. Like in New York lingo, we talk about violations all day. You need to violate, homie. Oh, homie, put up the middle finger at you. Cut yourself off the car. You got kids in the car, cut you off in traffic. He almost hit you and made you swerve and kill your kids in the car. You need to violate him. He pull over to the side of the road. Oh, he talking crazy. Now he threatening you. Oh, you better violate him. It's different. It's really different. Like, you can't take that one conversation. I understand Jim Jones is still flagging out here, boom, boom, boom. I understand he old, he got kids, he married right now. Yeah, I agree with you. At some point, that you got to let that shit go. But at the end of the day, when it's embedded in you and it's just like stuff like even with fraternities and stuff like that, I mean, when you go older, I mean, at the end of the day, if that's all you knew when you grew up, I mean, that's your family. That's really your family. No matter if you moved on, you're not doing no street shit, you're not a runner, you're not putting in work no more, you're not even active in the game. You can still rep it, and you can still rep the positive side of how they doing book bag drives in the community, and they giving out turkeys. They building schools for people, and they doing drives to bring the community money. But that's the stuff that we don't talk about and nobody talks about. You can still rep a certain set and still rep the positive side without glorifying the negative side. And I think he gets targeted because he's a rapper. He got a voice, and he sells music. That's what it is. But that, at the same time, that's his art form. He can speak about that because that's where he comes from. But at the end of the day, apart from his rap, apart from the wiretap and stuff like that, we don't know what he's doing. All I can tell you, he's official. He's official. He's definitely official. He's not doing this shit for fashion. He's not wearing that rag for fashion. He's official in the city.
All right. Look, I had to put you on mute real quick, Casino, because I want to let my man near. Hey, Blur, did you want to jump in this before I let my man Casino get his
rebuttal, though. You got to let me rebuttal.
I had a question, and I'm hoping you address this question, Casino, because it's to you. I think New York kind of mentioned it, because it seemed like what you're saying is, well, one question is, are you saying that anybody who joins a gang when they're younger are followers? I mean, I've heard that before. I'm just trying to see if that's what you're saying. And two, are you saying he corny for still banging or still repping the gang now that he's 40 plus years old? Because I think New York touched on that too. He's like, yo, you got to get out the game at some point. I'm like, all right, that might be a thing. My first thought was like, yo, that's what he's been. That's what he's always going to be.
Two things. One,
all right, Casino, go ahead. Start over. I had to mute you because you kept talking over Blur, too. I want to let him get the start out.
I'm passionate about this. I got to be on board with voice, man, so I got to talk. So, address the first question that you gave me. One, no, everybody who joins a gang is not a follower. I understand it comes through circumstance. Some people are born into it. I understand that some people, if you want to get to school the right way, you got to go ahead and get down, because if not, you're walking through a whole blood spot. So it's almost like a it's either get down or get laid down, whatever you want to call it. My point now when it comes to Jimmy is this. You keep on talking about violations. I don't give a fuck if a violation is taking your pacifier. I don't care what it is. It is lame that a four-year-old plus man, however old he is talking to any official blood, whatever you want to call it, gang member, at that age with all this shit that he's gone through, it is lame that you're still talking that shit. Remember, this dude got a kid. Like, I did a lot of dumb shit when I was young, right? But I'm not going to be moving in these streets talking gang topics and all the other shit when I got a kid that goes to school every day out of respect for him. It's lame that he still involves himself in that shit. Now, the whole thing you talked about when it came to, it's a part of his fabric, you know, this is his lifestyle. Guess what? It's Snoop's lifestyle, too. You hear Snoop all the time say, I am not gangbanger. I am not an active gangbanger. You hear Dre say he ain't doing that shit no more. So all I'm saying is you have true leaders, right? And true leaders, they go through shit. Everybody don't come out the damn womb smart and grown and
responsible and having a high moral compass. We all come from whatever beginnings we come from. But at some point, you got to get the fucking message, yo. And this motherfucker is too grown not to get the message. So to get, say my point again, it is lame. I'm not talking about violate. I could care less what the definition of violation is. Whatever, taking his pacifier, whatever you want to call it. It is corny that this dude at his age, with his experience, got caught up in some shit like that. At some point, you got to say, you know what, boy? Here's the charity. Here's the money. Y'all go ahead and do what y'all got to do, but I got to figure out a way. Like my man Jay said, right? Everybody can't come home, right? Right? Everybody can't sit on Santa's lap, right? At some point, it's time to motherfuckers to grow up and move on. And all I'm saying is to bring this thing whole full circle is I respect somebody like Kendrick because you can have somebody in their young ages or old ages say, not only am I listening to his music, not only does he have credibility, but damn, I can let my son look at him, have a conversation, and shit, I can let my son, he can babysit my son, and he still has street cred. So I respect that, and I want him to get more airtime, and I want him to get his time. But we see too many of our brothers out there, and we always saying, yo, you know, this shit ain't right, people getting shot, black-on-black crime. And then we glorify the people who are feeding it to the streets.
I gotta hop into that.
If we're talking about Kendrick, right? Kendrick comes from a blood hood. He just did an interview right there in a blood hood with blood homies around him. We talk about West Side Boogie and everybody else. We talk about race. He just did an interview like a couple of years ago in that neighborhood. Not only that, he's been mad prominent to wear the red. He wore red flag t-shirts in one of his videos. Not only that, with the damn album came out, he had the red rubber band ties in his hair. And then not only that, on that same album, he mentioned Sex, Money, Murder. Like, what are you talking about? That's a blood set. Like, what do you – he still knows where he come from. He's still mentioning it. It's just like certain people, that certain stuff is better. It's embedded to them. That's where they grew up. Just because you're not looking for it.
What I think you're missing is he's saying, like, yo, you got to be the big homie now and start giving out better advice to your people. Like, if this your family, if this the people you fuck with, you should want to see them do better. And, like, he's saying, like, yo, you shouldn't be on the phone telling anybody to violate somebody. You should be telling them, yo, you need to just stay far away from homie. Like, yo, I could see from my point of view, like, I've been through this. I've been in this game too long. This ain't going to work out for you. And I can understand that. Like, The older generation gotta be giving out better advice to the young people. And I don't remember exactly what happened with Jimmy, but I think he probably ain't doing that. Like, just from, I can imagine he's still out there doing his thing. And I think I understand now what homie was saying. Like, you 45, whatever, still trying to act like you 20. And if you just say that out loud, right, you'd be like, yo, that sounds corny. You shouldn't be 45 right, trying to act like you 20.
Let me get my joke off. Yo, Mike Tyson just beat up a dude on the plane. We got to stop acting like 40-year-olds can't give the call to go violate somebody. Mike's still violating people. Why can't Jim Jones?
Mike was getting violated, and he handled it.
No, but that's my point, though. That's the point. The only reason why that is public knowledge is because he got caught on a wiretap. Just think about it. Everybody goes through trials and tribulations when they can actually fight somebody or go through that. He was talking to his homie in confidence. That became public knowledge because of that RICO act that they was doing on the whole set. Everybody talk about, oh man, like, yeah, I mean, we talk like brothers, just like that at the show that we was talking about. Yeah, you talking in confidence with your brother. You don't know you on wiretap. Everybody at the end of the day, like, yeah, man, I'm gonna big myself up. I don't think I'm gonna lose a fight, but I know I can lose a fight. I lost several fights, but if I'm talking about, if I will violate somebody to my homie or whatever, just like that. I mean, that's what it is. That's literally what
at
it 45? Is. I mean,
at 45?
At 45, they just brought up the Mike Tyson stuff. You got people that's older than 45 still fighting. What a Evander Holyfield got so many kids, he can't do but fight.
So listen, right? So let me just say this, and I'll be done with it. Let me just say this one thing. I got to get this off. So he's saying that, in your words, he's saying this in confidence to a brother of his, right? He's saying this in confidence to a brother of his. So the advice that he gave his brother, not saying the advice that he gave him was specifically what was in that indictment, but the type of advice that he was given wasn't positive. And now because that dude, not saying that the advice that he gave him on that particular day, but because that guy who he was talking to didn't get the best advice, and when he was making moves, weren't the most positive, guess what he's doing now? He's doing hard time. And all I'm saying is this. I can't respect the nigga in the position of power when he's influential, because that's why he's in there. He's an influential figure in New York, right? Bucket throughout the whole country. And when he's given that position, rather than using his power for positivity in any such way, in confidence, when he ain't even got to put on the front, he ain't even got to fake the funk, he ain't getting no advertising for what he's giving. He's trying to give knowledge to his people, to his brother. And what does he do? He gives him knives to get his ass locked up. I can't respect that, bro. No man who can come around my kids. No, let me finish. I can't respect man. And when he's given the opportunity to tell somebody in confidence, hey, brother, this is what I think you need to do to resolve the situation. I think you need to do something that can get you locked up. Get the fuck from around me. Those type of people ain't around loud in my circle. That's bad energy, brother. And all I'm saying, I got plenty of Jimmy songs on my phone. Trust me. Plenty of them. I can make the distinction between art and the person. And when we got on this phone, the reason why I gave Kendrick his props is because me personally, when I see Kendrick and I listen to his music, I don't hear all fucking blood shit in there. I'm not trying to say he's not affiliated and doesn't have people around him who have that energy. He comes from that place. He comes from that, from the ground up. But what I'm saying is this. I cannot have nobody in my energy. It's hard enough. I can't have nobody in my circle that when he has the opportunity to give good advice at the nice age of 45, he gives advice to get you locked up. That tells me he's not evolving. That tells me he hasn't grown up. He still feels like he needs to feed that energy and get niggas locked up. And I ain't part of that. So, again, I'm not knocking him. I'm simply saying I respect his art. I like his new songs, too. I got a couple of them on my what's it called. I love all that shit. But as a person, I can't respect it.
But before you go, New York, let me ask one question real quick. I want both of them to answer it. Do you think the advice to your homie is there ever a situation where the advice to your homie is to choose violence? And again, I'm not talking about specifically about the violate, because that could be a number of things. But like someone, I would have told Mike Tyson, you got to lay this dude out. Like he's spitting on the back of your head, he calling you out your name, he's doing too much. That might not have been the best advice. Like, I mean, because Mike Tyson could have possibly gotten locked up, and this is somebody who already did a hard time. He could have got locked up. Obviously, people saw, and the right thing happened. But my advice to Mike Tyson at that point of view, at that time, would have been like, somebody need to put hands on this man, and you ain't got security with you. It's just you. And so I think at certain times, advice to somebody might be, you got to go to war. I mean, I'm saying that, like, politically go to war, but I mean, it's like violence might be the advice that you have to give out to somebody sometimes.
I'm going to let New York go. Go ahead, jump in, New York.
So what I'm saying is, I understand your position. I respect your position, stuff like that. But at the same time, we're just talking about one wiretap when he said violate somebody, right? There's certain type of morals, and a certain type of rules that everybody don't live by at the end of the day. But at the same time, let's just take it further from that. Let's not even take it. We're not even talking about games right now. When you talk about violating somebody or something like that, just imagine you're a project manager on a team, right? You expect that team or that team member to do good, and they're not performing in an excellent manner, or they're committing policy violations against your agency that you work for. How long are you going to let them commit policy violations against the agency that you're the manager of before you write them up. So it's not saying we're not even talking about gang stuff because I mean the homie I don't know homie don't understand. It's just the same thing. If we take it a step further, just like what the fraternity is, right? Once you come into the fraternity, right, and you're committing certain type of heinous acts out there by yourself as an individual. And, all right, this is not what we stand for, so we're going to drop you from the chapter. Like, no, you can't do this no more because you're a representation of us. So you can't be out here acting all wild. You can't be out here pants sagging, committing crimes, shooting people and all this other stuff, doing that or whatever because you're a representation of us. No, drop your flag, violation, kick you out the whip. It all goes hand in hand because at the end of the day, it's certain rules and regulations that come with everything that's a part of life. So, I mean, at the same time, like it is what it is because at the end of the day, if somebody from a younger chapter that a younger dude from my chapter is doing some stupid stuff, I'm going to get him in line like, hey, you can't be doing this. Oh, so when am I going to let you go again? Oh, you doing this again? Where are the repercussions? It's not about violence. It's not about anything because at the end of the day, at 45 years old, you're telling somebody to violate somebody's type of man. No, like you trying to save the face of the organization no matter what part of it. It don't matter if you a gang member. It don't matter if you a top CEO or stuff like that. It has to be something to put in place for people to actually understand like, hey, no, like it's not happening no more. It's not happening no more. So it's just like I wasn't dumb, but you go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. You got it.
No. You got it. Go ahead.
Okay, let me give
both of y'all a real quick break. I just want to check to see if the lady wants to hop in here, DJ C-Sign. Do you have any comments for these two gentlemen going back? This turned into a long topic that I had no intentions on discussing tonight. But DJ C-Sign, you got anything before I let Casino go? You want to tell them they're both being ridiculous?
Well, just
Casino front, ain't it?
I was just saying the same thing over and over again. We might have to table.
Oh, DJ C-Side ready to go to the next topic. So she party pooper, yo. The fellas are having a good discussion, man. We know you met a dude from 90 Day Fiancé this weekend. We'll get to that. All right.
my new Facebook celebrity.
DJ C-Side met a celebrity this weekend. Now she open, yo.
No, but I can agree with the homie. I can agree with the homie what he's saying about being gangbanger at like 45 years old. I can agree with that. I literally can agree with that.
I'm gonna let y'all. But go ahead, Casino. Go ahead.
So two quick rebuttals. First off, when he brings up the whole thing about an organization outside of gangbanging, so like you working at you working at McDonald's, you working at Target or something like that, and you violate a policy. Your corrective action is taken against you. The person who's giving you that corrective action, the action that he takes, more than likely, unless he does it unlawfully, is not going to get him locked up, right? They have procedures that they get vetted through legal that say, hey, if this person does this, we want to do this to this person, can that get me in trouble? And the lawyer goes, well, let me go contact the Commonwealth in this county and see if we do this to this person, can we get in trouble? No, you can fire them all day. You can do whatever. You can violate them however you want to term it, that type of way, and there's no repercussions. That gives that person the authority to do what they got to do. It's a professionally ran organization for the most part. Now, sometimes you have some times where shit don't go cool, and that's why you have these lawsuits of people getting fired because they violated or took corrective action that wasn't within the law. You can't make that comparison to And again, it's no disrespect. It's no disrespect because I get it, right? There is clearly a culture for it. There is clearly a demographic that still feels the need to join gangs and be a part of gang culture. I completely understand all that. I don't rock with it, but do what you do. All I'm saying is, as young black men and as leaders in the community, we cannot have people that talk about legitimately representing an organization, terming the a blood gang as an organization that should be able to conduct this business that includes taking corrective action that can get the people who take the corrective action locked up. That's not smart business. That's not, you can't even say it's not legit. Come on.
Hold on.
Why is it not? Well, let me tell you why it's not, right? Because you got young 17-year-olds. My son's going to be 17 at some point. I don't want nobody coming up to him and saying, you know what? The Blood Gang is a real organization. You know what? It's got a lot of good things, and we want you to be a part of it. And you know what? There might be times when young boy who you know from the neighborhood might mess up, and you got to take corrective action. And to have some grown dude tell my son the corrective action, you gave him 20-plus years, yo, why we got this slave mentality, yo? Like, just some,
but
somebody...
What's the difference between that? What's the difference between that and the Black Panthers? They had to have a shootout with the cops. That could have got them 20 years.
Come on, yo. You playing. You playing right now, yo.
No.
You playing, yo. We all got kids, yo. This the type of shit that...
Tell you the truth.
Yo, I came home to Norfolk the other day, right? I came home to Norfolk the other day.
No details. You ain't even called
me. I came home to Norfolk the other day, and I was talking to the attendant, and she says, the homicide rate in Norfolk has jumped up X amount of numbers. It's crazy out here. There's a reason, yo. At some point, we got to have people to step up and say, you know what?
I live here. No, it's not. Don't believe it. I live here.
Oh, hey. I see the newspapers. I see Granby Street. Come on. I stay on Wavy. Okay, I mean, it ain't Chicago out there, but my point is, it's us young boys that are dying out there because they think this shit is cool. Come on,
young
you cannot
die in war.
Okay.
That's a guy.
All right, well, all I'm saying is I don't want my son joining no type of gang or no organization where he can have corrective action that he has to take out on somebody or somebody has to take out him because he's a young boy.
So no military,
you know, military
police?
Okay. You know that. I'm
just saying.
I can give a shit about military, police,
people,
whatever you want to call it.
People can see
parallels.
I can.
No.
I just want to say this.
Oh, Red, they got off. They didn't go to jail. The person who ordered it did. And the streets, whoever did the deed, going to jail.
All I want to say is this. At the end of the day, regardless of whatever Jim Jones did, the other big homie is a man. He's a man, and he can make his own choices. Now, no matter what other choices that he could, it don't matter if you're influenced by somebody that got power or money. It depends. It depends on what you influence by. It depends on how high your ceiling can go. Some people got a high enough ceiling to see about that and be like, all right, no. All right, well, that don't sound right. I'm not going to do that. But it depends on how high your ceiling can go. Everybody is a man at that point. But you have to make your own life decision in this aspect we call life.
It's not the 1970s.
It's not the 1980s. It's not the 1990s no more. Nobody is forcing you to put on a flag. I think I don't know if you're from that culture or not. Nobody is forcing you to be put on a hood. The only thing that you have to be worried about is if in this culture right now in 2022, if you're from a certain type of hood and certain people got beef with you and then they recognize you from the spot and you ain't got nothing to do with it. I mean, you a civilian. You have nothing to worry about. But you still got other people to worry about. Oh, well, we know he from this block and this, that, and the third. Oh, so we going to beat on him. Oh, he from your block. We going to beat on him and stuff like that. That's the only thing that you have to worry about. But other than that, nobody is getting put on the hood from force. Even people today, people that is born into that life, today they don't have to be born into that life. They don't have to be born in the light. I come from a whole family from crip niggas. Crip niggas. Like, at the end of the day,
nothing personal.
No. Like, I'm sorry, but like, look, but at the end of the day, you have people that, let's say California, right? They got older people that's from their grandmother, grandfather, stuff like that, banging other hoods than what the kids are growing up right now, because their grandmother and their grandfather moved to a whole different neighborhood. So say, for instance, a grandmother from Piru moved down to Crenshaw, and now they grandson is claiming neighborhood 60. It has nothing to do with that. It really has nothing. Nobody is putting nobody. Nobody's making you choose that gang life. That let's get that out the way. It's 2022. Nobody is killing over colors. You still got the actual people that do that, but still, at the same time, it's not you not being forced to put on a hood. Everybody respects you at the end of the day. It's not the 1970s. It's not the 1980s.
Okay.
It's not the 1990s no more. Nobody's putting you on
a
hood if you think that you can do that.
Listen real quick. I just want to make I gotta say this real quick.
I put all y'all on mute except for Black, because none of y'all listening.
Look, this turned into a gang conversation for an hour. Look, it's been a great conversation. I'm gonna let Casino make his point. I'm gonna let New York make one more point. I'll go to Blur to see if Blur want to finish it up. And then we're done, because we got to get on something a little happier. I love you all. But all y'all know I love y'all. I don't know how we got into this conversation by me saying Jim Jones. Jim makes great albums. So listen. Casino, you got one more point. New York, you got one more point. Blur, I'm going to bring you in. And then we moving on. That's it. So I'm unmuting y'all now. Casino, you
all right. So listen, so he just made that whole point about you are not forced to get down and all that other stuff. I want to go back to the context in which the whole conversation came up. You said that the guy who he was on the phone with is his own man. We weren't talking about two people. One was blood and one was civilian. We weren't talking about all that. Let's go back to the context. We were talking about him being on the phone with somebody else who is in a gang. So we're talking about two gang members, right? Am I right?
Yeah,
yeah,
make
I'm
it right. Man.
You want
okay.
me to answer it? I answer it. Yes.
Okay,
we can't go back and forth.
We're not talking about civilian and somebody who moved down the street. We're talking about two gang members. And my question to you that started this whole thing was, if I'm on the same set with my homie, and it's a perceived violation, right? And I say, and the big homies say, hey, this person violated. Y'all need to super violate him. Does he have a choice? No, he doesn't have a choice. If that order comes down and somebody's violated from the set, somebody on the set, and somebody's giving an order, you follow that order. So he doesn't have a choice.
Oh, I thought she was done. You good?
I mean, but I'm saying he said all that. That's not a story.
We're ending this.
He lost the context.
I'm just giving you a space, because after this we're done. We're moving on. So you good? You good,
right,
Casino?
Good.
You know, you know my man.
Good.
I love you 100 grand. I just want to make sure you good. You good?
Man, we got kids out here, man. We got kids out here, yo.
All right, New York. What's your last comment on this?
Look, I would love to have a comment. I would love to have a conversation with Mans off air and stuff like that, so we can figure it out. But yeah, I agree with the whole what his initial point was, right? So at the end of the day, it's like certain type of things, right? You're not at the end of the day, it's I ain't even trying to indict. But at the end of the day, if you know, like, at the end of the day, like, let's say this, if you a business partner or you a team member, right, and you come into a manager or a CEO or whatever of the whole type of stuff, right, yeah, your opinion is going to be considered But that doesn't make it the actual decision that comes out. So you can actually give advice like, yeah, I could say like, hey, I'm working with this company, this way and that and the third. Oh, well, I see y'all underperforming right here. Well, this is where you need to make an adjustment. Now, if the CEO don't think that he needs to make an adjustment right there, he's going to make his own decision. He's going to make his own decision. But at the end of the day, you know what I mean, I respect your initial point. You know what I mean? I don't think certain people should be game digging at a certain type of age. And I don't even believe anybody at a certain type of age is still game digging at this point. Or whatever. But yeah, I respect your opinion. I love to have this conversation off air, and we can disagree to agree, or I mean, we can talk it out.
For sure.
But yeah, it's like, yeah.
I can't get you two together until my man retires. I'm not gonna say which one of my man's talking about, but I can't get y'all together until my man retires. Blur, what's your last comment on this? We gotta move on, man. Go ahead, talk about this.
Not even on this, but how we started this with Kendrick. I know. Go back just a little bit. I wanted to make a reference. New York made me think of a reference that I think will sum up my opinion of Kendrick. That DJ Cesar was talking about, because he brought up battle rap and he brought up Loaded Lux. Loaded Lux is a very intelligent battle rapper. He's very wordy. And I think he's lost, like, his last three or four battles because of that. He don't have the punchline. He's not as entertaining. He definitely lost his last battle, I think it was with Geechee Gotti. He lost that. But Lux has one of the best battle performances of all time. You're going to get this work. This grown man bar is something you got to deal with. Like, that's going to go down in history, and that's kind of what my opinion is with Kendrick. Like, he can, when he puts it all together, he can put it all together where he gets deep and introspective and entertaining, like Lux and Calico. Lux, when he was going against Calico, he had the suit on. He was like, yeah, I'm going to talk to you how your dad should have, and he was getting real grown man with him, and he did it entertainingly. When Kendrick does that, it's what? It's out the park. Other times, he's just, I mean, syllable. And it's like no entertainment behind that. It may be deep. It may be smart. It's just not entertaining. And I was here talking. I went and looked back at Good Kid, Mad City. Four out of 13 tracks. Four out of 13 tracks.
Yeah.
Good Kid, Mad City.
I don't want you to talk anymore, Blur.
I'm just saying, 4 out of 13.
It got active.
You're ridiculous right now.
I'm just saying, like, go back and listen. All right, and I'm not saying the rest are skips. I'm just, well, I said, like, I kind of like it, but other ones, nah, it's not really my favorite album. Four tracks, I'll go back to the other one. If they come on, cool. If not, I'm like, all right, let me find some way to skip. If I'm doing squats in the gym, I might not skip them. I'm not going to put the bar down to skip to the next song, but I ain't listening. I'm like, all right, let me try to count my reps or something until the song is over to one of the four come on.
All right, so just to end this conversation, round robin. DJ C-Sire, did you hear the new Kendrick Lamar song, Heart Part 5, and what did you think of it?
Yes, I heard it. It was okay. I mean, it was all right. I don't know about phenomenal. It wasn't anything that hit me as, you know, extra. But again, this is one of the kind of To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick Lamar songs. Thank you, boy. You might want to kind of go back, listen to it again. I mean, that's the thing. I think that's the beauty of someone who does take time with some lyrics. I mean, on the outside looking in, I mean, I was looking probably more about the beat and stuff. It wasn't anything too, you know, extraordinary. But it's not just syllables, and that's just it. It ain't just syllables, and it's never just syllables with Kendrick Lamar. You
like, if you actually listen to it, if you actually take the time. And maybe you don't have the energy to do it. Maybe you don't have the, you know what I'm saying? You know, you want to be more, you want a lazy listener. That's fine.
Go to Drake.
Go to Drake. Go to, I mean, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? It's not for everybody. But when you do, it's gems. It's just full of, like, it's just, you just find treasure. And it is all, it is impressive of what he can do with those syllables.
So, Casino, I'll go to you. Did you hear the new Kendrick Lamar song, Heart 5, and what'd you think?
Yes, but I haven't had a chance to really digest it. I heard it from some website, but haven't had a lot, you know, time to really digest it, so I can't speak on it.
Okay. New York, New York, same question.
Yeah, I actually haven't had time to actually digest it, but from what I heard, and well, when I first heard the, I don't know if it's the same for everybody else. When I first heard the track, I saw the video that goes along with it, and then just the face changes and the lyrics that go along with the face changes. I think that's crazy artistry right there. That's crazy artistry right there. So I think, that's beautiful work. That's beautiful work for me. And if that's the prelude to what the album is going to be, I'm most definitely excited. Most definitely excited.
Blur, same question. Hey, watch your background noise, man. Put yourselves on mute if you out there fighting with the dogs and stuff.
My bad. That's Tweety. She cooked some fire chicken. Now she got to clean up the kitchen. You know how we get down. I ain't
what
doing
else?
Nothing over here. I eat and put my feet up like a real king. But I heard it, and like New York, New York said, man, it goes with the video, which is why, again, this is the conundrum of Kendrick. By itself, the song doesn't hold up. It doesn't. It's wordy, 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 wordy. Syllables and words, syllables and words, syllables and words. And I'm sure he's talking that shit. Reading the lyrics, you're like, oh, this shit's dope. If you just listen to it, like, all right, it's cool. I'm not going to play it again. Then you put the video and you got the deep fakes, which everybody's, like, real high on these deep fakes. They're not the best. And I'm not trying to say that the clown Kendrick going to put it down, but I watch this VFX show every Saturday where they do stuff like that. And it's not – I mean, there's better stuff out there that could be done. So, but, look, all right, so that's what I want. I appreciate him doing it. It was creative. Song by itself, mediocre, C+, I guess. You know what I mean, it's passing, but I'm not gonna go back to it and just listen to the song.
Okay. See, now, I mean, I got a couple comments on it. So when I first heard it, I was like, ah, this ain't it. I was like, I can understand why. Now, I saw it before the video, and I wanted to get everybody's reaction on the video too, but I guess, you know, New York, New York and Blur just gave us their reaction. I'll get DJ C Siren in a Casino's reaction on the video in a minute, but just to tie it up, because I'm trying to move on to some funner stuff. But when I first heard it, I was like, man, this ain't it. And then, like, I was like, let me go back and listen. So I always tell myself, I want three listens. Three listens, and I'll determine if I like it or not. Man, by that third listen, I fell in love with the song. I think it's one of the best songs of the year. I didn't appreciate the Marvin Gaye sample until about the third listen, because I was like, it's a Marvin Gaye sample. Everybody puts Marvin Gaye up there. I didn't grow up on Marvin Gaye. I know my mom listened to it and all that stuff, but I don't think Marvin Gaye was heavy rotation. Like, I understand, you know, he died early and the mystique behind it, and he was, you know, bisexual and all that stuff. Marvin Gaye? Yeah. But I don't. Like, when I hear the name Marvin Gaye, I don't get, like, I know about the whole Pharrell lawsuit and all that stuff. I'm not revered by Marvin Gaye. It just wasn't part of my thing. But I appreciated that beat so much more. Like, now I absolutely love the beat. And again, it is on that kind of Timber Butterfly, that jazzy, old school, I'm not going to add a lot of 808s to it. And even the rhymes, at first I was like, you know, they're all right. Like, why is he off beat? And then, like Blur said, like, I was like, let me listen to it the second, third time and read the lyrics. And then as I read it, you start to digest it. You understand, like,
like he's talking about different things of culture and what it means, and you know the third verse of pretending to be Nipsey Hussle and doing the whole Nipsey at first, because when I first heard it, I even turned to DJ C Siren. I was like, man, is he talking about committing suicide? Like, I didn't get it at first. And it wasn't until that third listen, I was like, oh, I get it now. He's talking about being Nipsey. I was like, oh, that's cool. But those first two verses, I was like, I get how he's, like, the way he's explaining culture and talking about, you know, just, you know, even simple as rappers not rhyming on beat and not respecting just rap culture and rhyming off beat while doing it. I thought it was absolutely genius. But I get why if you were doing squats, you wouldn't put it on. Like, I also understand, like, I can listen to that song and appreciate why someone who's just wanting to sit down and just hear something different can love that song, but how if somebody was running 4 miles and needed a pace to just get them through, they would never play that song, right? Because songs have purpose, music has purpose, music has feeling, music has emotions, and that's not the type of emotion I want in the gym. But I thought, now I absolutely love the song, and I'm not a big fan of the Heart series. I only thought the first Heart song was good. I'm not a big, I know DJ C Siren, I think she liked the fourth one or the third one that she really loved. But I'm not a big fan of the Heart series. But I'm excited for the Kendrick Lamar drop tomorrow just because we got the heavy hitters. Like Drake dropped an album. J. Cole dropped an album that I thought was fire. I guess, was that last year or was that this year? I think it was this year. J. Cole dropped what? So within the calendar year of each other. Drake dropped one, Cole dropped one, Kendrick about to drop one, Pusha dropped one. I don't know if he's considered one of the heavy hitters or not, maybe just me. But right now, you know, when it talks about the big three, if Kendrick drops a fire 2 diss tomorrow, it's crazy that Drake has the worst album of the big dogs right now. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would love to see what Drake responds with. Because if that last album with all the emojis having babies, if you compare it against J. Cole's Off Season, and if Kendrick Lamar's Big Stepper and the Shiny Mirror, whatever the album's called, there you go. If Kendrick blows this out the water, and it used to be, you know, we used to argue who's on top, Drake, Kendrick, or Cole. Now won't be in an argument. It might just be an argument between Drake and Kendrick. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. Cole and Kendrick. So just real quick before we move on, DJ C. Siren, what do you think of the deepfake video?
It was cool. It helped to tell the story of the song. You kind of understood a little bit more. I mean, it was great that we're using this, you know, this new technology that everyone scared of.
They all look like Al Sharpton. They all look like skinny Al Sharpton. Like when Al Sharpton got skinny, that's what deepfake looks like.
I don't know. Maybe you say
it's like the big head. Like. It's like the big head with the like the weird neck.
But truthfully, when his face turned back to Kendrick, I kind of kept looking like I couldn't tell.
If it was Kendrick or not. It was a deepfake Kendrick. It was Al Sharpton.
So I mean that I thought that, you know, played into it. So I liked it. It was a nice concept.
Casino, what'd you think of the video?
It was dope.
Casino, you still on? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I said it was dope.
You like the video?
Uh-huh.
I like Kendrick just because he wears a white T-shirt. Like last time we saw Jay-Z, he had a big blue diamond on his pinky with a big cigar. Him and Beyonce be in museums that you're not allowed to go and do, taking pictures in front of Picasso's. Kendrick Lamar's in front of a green screen with a white T-shirt and a black bandana. Hey, that's just dope. Yeah, I appreciate Kendrick. So, all right, so everybody like the video. Y'all got anything left on Kendrick before we move on? Because we got to talk about Kevin Samuels dying. We got to get to that. So anybody got anything left on Kendrick?
Real quick, not even just on Kendrick. You mentioned the big three. Is Big Sean not a part of that, or was he ever? I used to consider Big Sean
a part of that,
no.
that top tier. But is he's just not mentioned no more at all?
I know.
I love Big Sean.
Not,
I like that Detroit 2 album. Go ahead, New York. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, as far as Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole is concerned, no. I love Big Sean as a lyricist, but no. It's a different type of artistry where those three produce. I don't think Big Sean is at that level yet. I think he's a good artist. He has good artistry, but as far as Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake, nah. Because we've been talking about Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick for the last few years. Big Sean hasn't even tapped into that element. I mean, he tapped into his element and his bag or where his lane is. So he has his own lane and where he can do exceptionally well. But as far as getting up to those big three names, nah, I don't think he reached that potential yet.
Well, I say every song Big Sean and Drake got together, Big Sean's won.
No, but he's an amazing lyricist. I give him that. He's an amazing songwriter, everything like that. But he's not at that level. You got to say that he's not at that level. He's not at that level.
Oh,
when he drops a song, it's a good song, right? It's a good performance. It's a hit, right? But when he drops something, it doesn't make the world stop to be like, hey, oh no, everybody listen to Big Sean right now. Nah, he's not at that level right now.
Are we blaming that on Kanye though? Because we used to be.
No, but I think what Kanye has something that Big Sean doesn't.
So is that it? We go on Kendrick Lamar. Okay, all right. So everybody's excited tomorrow. Next week we will have the review. Album comes out at midnight. So, you know, one of the big things this week, you know, people dying. So, DJ Cesar, go ahead. What do I got?
Take me to work tomorrow.
I don't have to take you to work tomorrow because you don't have to work. Did I say I have to take you to work? Oh, yeah, because of Sway in the morning. That's right.
Yeah,
DJ Cesar.
Yeah,
DJ Cesar in here getting drunk. She off that vino. So the big news this week, Kevin Samuels died. Kevin Samuels who made, popular by, he was like a relationship counselor, I guess. He offered advice to people, men and women, on how to have successful relationships. He gained popularity by criticizing women on their weight and why they believe that they deserve the things they do. And he went to he was in a place with a young lady, and he had a heart attack and died over. He's had health issues prior. So they knew something was coming, but it wasn't that publicized. But, you know, Kevin Samuels was a controversial person. He called women names. Huh?
Leftovers.
Yeah. He called women leftovers. He's very critical of women. And he died. You know, and people, that's what people do. They die. But there was an uproar about how people were not sympathetic
Bad.
In his death. Mm-hmm. So, DJ Siren, did you listen to Kevin Samuels or anything he said, and what did you think about his death? Did you have any criticism?
So, can't remember, but let's see, we talked about, I don't know how he came, I mean, had a lot of followers. A lot of people were following his advice. I was not familiar with him until something kind of came on the scene. So I can't remember what that was. Was it the video or him cheating on the wife? Was that him? No, that was the other guy. That was another guy. Anyway, can't remember how I even knew about him. So I really don't have any, you know, feelings on him. you know, sorry for that, you know, man. I mean, he was, what, how old?
54 or something like that. Young.
So young. And so, you know, that's always unfortunate. But, you know, I'm familiar with some of the things he's said over the years and how black women kind of dismissed him anyways because he was dismissive about black women. So, I mean, I guess I think it's kind of ridiculous. Look, I'm sorry. I know how everyone is supposed to act. We all know how we're supposed to act. But if you don't know somebody and you really don't agree with what they say, I don't understand why you think someone should grieve just because someone died. I mean, I'm pretty sure inside, sorry for your family. I'm sure there's people that loved you that will miss you. But I don't understand why you think you can make somebody be upset or sad.
But you grieved over Prince. You ain't know him.
Oh, but.
Oh. I heard your pussy get wet right down there. Who's not met your Prince?
Oh.
That O was O.
Oh. Oh, but I love Prince. I just thought it was so funny. It changed from, you know, I guess once he died, I guess our viewpoint of him has to change just because he is now gone.
Why?
That's what I'm saying. I guess that is the thought. That is the thought. You can't. And I know some people were being a little extra and saying, you know, they happy. I mean, I guess there's a difference between being sad, not being sad, and actually being happy.
Being ambivalent or having an emotional reaction.
Right, right. So, you know, but I guess I really, look, I'm sorry, like, if they were passionate enough against what he was saying, like, if he, like, enraged someone enough, I'm not going to blame somebody for you know, just being like, oh, yeah, because, you know, like I said, I guess the only way I feel I can relate is, you know, when somebody caught the vid, I was a little disappointed he came back.
Donald Trump.
Well, him too.
You was hoping Donald Trump died?
Thomas.
Me?
Clarence.
Oh, Clarence Thomas. You was hoping he died?
Yeah.
He's black too.
I was ready for him to be gone. I mean, if you can't get rid of him, look, his appointment's for life. I'm sorry. I mean, if that's the only way we can get rid of his ass, then hey.
Blur, what you thinking of Kevin Samuel's situation? Hey, and if Tweety wants to talk about Kevin Samuel, I would love to hear her since she's another woman's voice.
Tweety, do you want to talk about Kevin Samuel's?
Oh,
well, hell no. That's what she said. It's weird. I ain't going to say it's weird because I watched, like, when I first heard about his controversy remark, and I ain't like it. I don't like to see black men putting black women down, especially making a name off of it. Like, and I understand he didn't necessarily think that's what he was doing. Like, I watched a couple of his videos where he really was trying to give relationship advice, and I guess the heart of his relationship advice was, you know, lower your expectations. Like, look at yourself, and then, you know, if you're not the type of person that you want to be with, then, hey, lower your expectations. It's essentially something like that, which I can respect. It's just all in the delivery and how you say things. And I like the fact that he was getting famous and getting rich. I don't know what his money situation was, but as soon as he was making money for putting down black women. Now, that said, these black women were coming on knowing what they were getting themselves into. So, you know, you take the good with the bad. But once you die, though, or once he's passed, I don't know if it's a Christian thing. I think we assume that most people were raised, I mean, in a black household, going to black churches, and you don't speak ill of the dead. It's the whole, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And I think we kind of assume that everybody's going to have that mindset because we assume that's how everybody was raised. And you know what? I mean, maybe that's an old way of thinking, and people aren't being raised that way anymore. People are raised with keep the same energy. It used to be if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Now it's like it'll keep that same energy. I ain't like you yesterday. I'm not going to like you today. I understand it both ways. I'm personally going to be like, yo, I'm not going to speak ill of the dead because that's not affecting them. It's only affecting the people they care, who care for them. And two, I mean, I would treat people the way I want to be treated. And if I don't have nothing nice to say, I won't say nothing at all. I'll try to keep it constructive. But, like, I didn't agree with what he said, and I didn't like the fact that he was getting rich off of putting black women down, which I just can't get with that. So, I mean, sorry the man lost his life. I mean, the whole way he died, my first thought, and maybe this is just, I mean, me being a cynic, he was taking some performance enhancement drugs, and it didn't sit right with him. I didn't know he had health conditions before. I know he's like 50 or 51. That's still kind of young, in my opinion. I mean, you still should be able to, you know what I mean, do your thing without dying from it.
I thought he had a degenerative disease or something, and that's why he was taking the
They said younger, he had, like, a lymphoma, like a Hodgkin's lymphoma when he was young, at, like, age 20-something.
So he had cancer early.
See, this is the first I'm hearing of that, so I didn't know that. I thought he was just, you know what I mean? He's an older man. He's in his 50s, about to get with or just got with a 20-year-old trying to keep up for the night or for the weekend. And, I mean, maybe he just took something that he wasn't supposed to take was my initial thought. I could be completely off in that. But either way, I mean, I'm sorry the man passed. Peace and love and blessings and prayers go out to his loved ones and his family. Man, it's always sad to see a loved one go.
Mark Cuban has a T-shirt tucked in some jeans with no belt on. How is he rich? God damn. New York, what do you think of Kevin Samuels dying?
I think I had to agree with Brett. Like, I mean, I'm not going to talk ill of the dead. I mean, condolences to his family. Hope he rests in peace and all that. But, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I can't discredit him for talking his truth. I mean, if that's the relationship advice that he was giving to other people based off his own preference, then, I mean, hey, and then other people followed in the same suit and thought that was right. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care what type of level you at. I don't care if you I'm 5'6". I don't care if you 5'10". You got a multi-million dollar job or whatever you doing. I'm still going to shoot my shot. I'm not taking advice from Kevin Samuels. I'm still going to shoot my shot to see if I got a chance. And I'm going to talk my way all the way through. But at the end of the day, I respect him for talking his truth. I don't agree with certain type of relationships advices that he gave out there. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to respect him as a human being that talked his truth, and, you know what I mean, he passed on, so rest in peace to him.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, like, I wasn't a big fan of his, not because I disagreed or agree with anything he's saying. My personality just, like, when it comes to a relationship, like, talk shows and stuff like that, it just doesn't interest me. So when there's this guy, but I listened to the Joe Button podcast, I watched the Breakfast Club, so he was on there and I heard what he was saying, and I just thought he was a funny entertainer. I agree with a lot of things he said, but just not how he said it, but I also could understand why he said it that way. It's to garner attention and fame and to be entertaining. I mean, truthfully, his real message is like, hey, women, don't expect to get a guy who has all his shit together when you don't. I think that's just regular common sense, but the way he framed it was hilarious. I can understand why women didn't find it as funny as I did, but, you know, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but I also think that he was only popular because of women. I don't know what dude. I have a lot of friends. I really have, when it comes to, like, close friends who are really, like, close to me, folks I talk to every day, I probably have even more, like, I have a lot of close friends, like, people who I would trust with my child if he dies. Like, if I die, like, I have probably about 12 dudes who would show up at my house and make sure DJ C signed. Like, they would irritate her, like, nah, yo, like Gun's my man, like, what you need, let's get this done, right? But I also have a network of probably about 50 dudes who, even though we're real, real cool, we're not that close, but I probably have a network of about 70 close fellas. I ain't never heard none of them say, I got one of them. One out of the 70 was like, yo, you need to listen to Kevin Samuels. And he's sexist, and I love him to death. But he's a little nuts. He kills people for a living. You know, he ain't right in the head. So I expect him. But he told me, he's like, yeah, I said this to my sister so she could get him. And I told him, it was probably a bad idea. He probably shouldn't have said that to you. But he's the only person I ever know who's like, yeah, you got to listen to this Kevin Samuels. No other of my boys were like, yo, you got to listen to this. He's speaking the truth because, like, relationships are, you know, we're all humans. We're all different. Like, there's no easy way to figure out a relationship or it would have been figured out by now. Like, you know, the biggest thing I tell people, look, I tell people every single day, all right, look, I'm just waiting for DJ C Siren to leave me so we can just be friends and I can get my own place. But that's not true. I love my wife. She's great. You know, I don't want her to leave me. You know, let's be completely honest. We have a good relationship, but we ain't perfect either. Just last week, I didn't want her to talk. Well, it wasn't even last week. It was like 2 days ago. I did not want her to talk to me. Like, I tried to give her the vibe where just please don't talk to me for the rest of the day. I tried to get her to leave me alone and leave the house so that I didn't have to look at her face. But because we're married, she wouldn't leave me alone, and she forced the conversation on me. And we ain't perfect, and we love each other, right? So I don't understand why people got so emotional on Kevin Samuels. But I disagree with y'all because I don't know if y'all ever had people that died that y'all ain't like, but when it's people who died that I ain't like, I was like, fuck them. Good riddance. You think anybody was upset when Adolf Hitler died except for the Nazis that was supposed to? No, fuck them. You think people are going to be upset when Putin dies? Maybe a couple people, but most of the world will be like, fuck him. Putin, don't kill me if it's happening. But, so if people were offended by Kevin Samuels' words and they didn't like him and he died and they want to say fuck him, then fuck him. Now, if he has a family that loves him and doesn't want to hear all that, get off the internet. Miss your loved one. Mourn your loved one. Love your loved one. Rejoice in the good times you had and embrace that, you know, hopefully he's in heaven if you believe in that type of stuff. But, you know, people die every day, B. So that's all, I mean, that's all, what that was my deep thought on Kevin Samuels thing. I mean, I don't understand why people are so upset, but I guess controversy sells. Y'all got anything left on Kevin Samuels before we move to it? I can't believe there's like 15 minutes. There's so much stuff to get to. Y'all got anything left on Kevin Samuels?
I do want to ask with the so you're on the school of thought of keep that same energy. If it was fuck you before, it's fuck you now. Now, are you talking about that's going to be your feeling towards the person? Or are you saying that's what I'm going to? And I'm not saying you specifically as far as like posting it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. Is that what you're going to like? Oh, this person died. Fuck him, I never liked him anyway. Like, you weren't talking about him the day before. You're going to take this opportunity to now express your bad feelings or your bad vibe that you had with dude or whoever it might be.
No, see, I don't do that because there's people who I don't like in this world, but you wouldn't know it because I don't speak on them. I'll never be like, yo, I'm on, like, Facebook. I'll never get, you know, some cryptic – you've never seen any cryptic messages from me, like, I can't believe someone I used to love is now my enemy and it was all love. I don't do that shit. Like, if I don't fuck with you, I just don't speak to you. I don't speak to you. I don't have a conversation. I want you out of my life because I live a happy life. I live an enjoyable life. So most of the time, blur, no bullshit. You know my personality. So you know that I'm pretty stubborn, but you also know that I'm day to day, right? You know me well enough. There's been plenty of times where I forgot why I hated somebody. Because they're so far out of my mind. And when I see them, I was like, damn, like, how come I haven't talked to you in a while? And then I have a conversation. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't fuck with you. And then I go back to not speaking to them. But, like, if I don't fuck with somebody, they're completely out of my mind. So I don't know if it's really keep the same energy or is, you know, like New York said earlier, like, you know, energy is real, you know, you have a happy life. If you don't bring happiness in my life, you can be out. Because I only got one of them. I'm going to die. So I'm only keeping happiness here. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
It does, because that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, the people who are speaking, essentially, I think it still falls in line. You're not going to speak ill of the dead. Like, if you aren't speaking on that person before, you're not going to take their death as an opportunity to express the bad feelings or the fact that you didn't like them, which I think is the same thing. I'm not going to speak ill on the dead. Like, you're not here, you're not here. It's not an opportunity for me now to shit on you or tell everybody what I finally thought about you. Which I think it's the same thing.
But if somebody asks you about you, you shit it on them. Is that okay? Like, if somebody say, yo, what'd you think about Kevin Samuels stuff? And I was like, man, fuck that nigga. Like, I'm not wrong for that if I didn't fuck with him. Right?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you because they asked you your opinion on him. I would probably temper it a little bit. I'm not going to say, yo, fuck him because he just died. Again, I'm not going to say fuck him. Like, no, I ain't really fuck with him. Like that. All right? I ain't gonna put the extra sauce on it. Like, yo, fuck him. If he was here, I'd be the one to kill him. Like, no, I ain't gonna do all that.
Yeah, you know, well, let me get near here, because it's funny you bring that up, because when my old boss died, I didn't fuck with my boss at all. And when he died, yo, and they started calling me like, hey, so-and-so died, I was like, yo, fuck them. I was like, I don't care that. Like, I'm glad he's dead. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yo, how could you say that? Like, I didn't fuck with him at all. And it was like, oh, I didn't know. It's because, of course, I didn't make it public. New York, what you got, though?
Nah, I can agree with that. I can agree with that, but I'm more at this age, I'm more sentimental, right? So I had like a couple of homies, like, yeah, I mean, I had a couple of homies that I fell out with, right? And just life just passing us by, because, like, at the end of the day, let me say this. The beef that I had when I was younger was no longer existence when I grew into my actual self of actual old life or whatever, right? So anything that we had or any beef that we had, like, back then, like 5 years or 10 years ago, and we wasn't speaking no more and stuff like that, and just growing into my old self. Like, I don't have no beefs no more. Like, I don't carry the bad grudges with me, because at the end of the day, I grew within myself, and I grew within myself, and I let all those grudges go. So hearing stuff like that, like people that I had beef with back in the day, stuff like that, and they pass, no matter any situation that they pass from, it'd be like, ah, man, damn. Like, condolences to your family. I can acknowledge that I didn't fuck with you in the past, but at the end of the day, if you perished and you passed on, it doesn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me. Like the same time, like, if a family member passed for me and stuff like that, because any beef that I had back then, years ago, stuff like that, I'm not thinking about that no more. I'm not thinking about that. Some people might think about that, but I'm not thinking about that no more. I moved on. I moved on for this stuff. I moved on for everything. So, I mean, like, yeah, I say, like, yeah, my condolences to your family. I'm sorry, everything like that. I feel condolences to your family, but if I didn't fuck with you, I mean, it's still the same way. Condolences to your family. But I just don't say I have that same type of energy. I have that respect for you, but I don't have that. I don't have that same energy as far as I'm crying for you, or I'm going to your funeral or something like that. Like, I mean, I send my condolences and move on.
Oh, my bad. I thought you was dying.
But I can't, the way in my heart right now and the way I'm living, I can't disrespect the dead. I can't disrespect the dead because I don't want nobody disrespecting me when I'm dead. That's
Why
the only
are you
thing.
Dead?
That's
what
the only
you
thing.
A
that,
fuck for?
No, but at the same time, because it's just like I don't know. It's just a universe. Everything comes back around to you. Everything comes back around to you. So I'm like,
not when
yeah, I could say yeah. No, but it's just like it's the same type of energy. It's the same type of reciprocation. It's like, yo, I hated you. I hated you when you was alive. But I took the hatred out of my heart back in two years ago. I took the hatred out of my heart. So I don't have that same energy. Anybody that I beef with, I'm not beefing with no Lord. So it's like I'm not even thinking about you. So if I die, like I can't talk ill about the dead. And that's what the homie Casino. Homie Casino was talking about there earlier about gang stuff and all this other stuff. People disrespect everybody and stuff like that. If you dead, you dead and gone. You perish and stuff like that. I'm not trying to live my life like that no more. I'm really not. I'm not disrespecting no dead. I don't want nobody to say, all right, he's the nigga dead. And you like, yo, all right, I hated him. He's dead now. So now I'm gonna throw a parade and stuff like that. I'm glorifying that he's dead. I don't want that. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for me, especially when I'm dead and gone and I'm no longer on this earth and stuff like that. So yeah, like nah, I ain't disrespecting the dead. You perished. You moved on. I moved on. And the crazy thing is about beef and stuff like that. I mean, like, it just be over some simple stuff. So it's just like, yeah, nah, we all grown. We all grown now. We adults. So I'm like, nah. No, don't disrespect me when I'm dead. I won't disrespect you when you dead. I won't disrespect nobody when they dead. So I don't want that same karma coming back to around me when I'm dead. I want love,
hey,
peace, unity, and everything. So I can perish in this earth and come back around the universe. And, yeah.
Hey, would you want to die in the middle of some pussy?
I ain't even going to hold you. There was like a earthquake in Merlin. I swear to God, this is a true story. It was like an earthquake in Merlin back like it was probably like a half a decade ago or something like that. I was knee deep in some pussy in the middle of an earthquake. I was like, oh, we about to die. I was like, oh, that's the best way to go out. I ain't even going to hold you.
Blur, you want to die in the middle of some pussy?
Nah, maybe like right after. Right after, like in the middle, you talking about? I mean, you still getting your stroke on? No, I want to conclude the process before I kick the bucket.
You want to bust a nut, roll over, and then die?
I mean, hey, if that's God's will, that's God's will. If he asks me, like, yo, you got 10 minutes? I'm like, all right, I got 10 minutes. So let's go.
DJ, shit, I got you. I'm gonna get that out the way.
DJ C. Sire, you want to die in the middle of getting some dick?
No.
You want to die in the middle of getting some pussy?
No.
I just figured out.
That would be very traumatic for the other person. That was a Stephen King book.
Are you going to finish?
The
like
book?
If you notice, no, like get your nut off. Like if you notice the person ain't responsive, but you're almost there, you going to finish?
Oh, no.
You going to finish before? Before you
that is
apply CPR.
That is against the law. Having sex with someone is dead.
I mean, you don't know that they're dead yet.
You don't know. That's gross. That is gross.
Dear, you want to finish your nut off? Huh?
Look, I'll be necrophilia at that point. But if we at the table, like I'd rather finish at the table like a Thanksgiving dinner. We all hold our hands and then be like, oh, the meteor strike, boom, like that. It's crazy. Nah, I can't. Yeah, nah. If I had to go away like that, nah. Holding hands with all the family members, be like, yeah, the meteor hit, boom. We all going out together.
Blur, you gonna finish your stroke? If she feel like she unresponsive, or are you gonna get right on out mid stroke?
Yeah, I gotta get on out, man. If she's looking unresponsive, then nah, I'm tapping out. Like, oh, you all right?
Like, let me get you some water. Oh, you are? You ain't breathing. You good? Like, yeah, but I ain't gonna keep going.
Hey.
Nah, I'm a.
Blur, real quick, is Tweety still there? Because we only got 5 minutes.
Yeah, hold on. Let me. Yeah, I think she has. Yo, Tweety. Oh, yeah, Beach Blum Gum want to ask you a question.
What up, sis? Hey, how come you teachers don't snitch on other teachers when they're terrible?
It's the code.
Y'all as bad as the police, yo.
It's the code. We, you know what? Actually, in my building right now, we try to drop hints to our principal, hoping she pick them up. But, yeah, we don't like being tattletales. Like, mm-mm. Like, if the principal's doing their job, then they know. Like, yo, you need to go observe Miss Monroe class. Oh, wait, really? Why? Why would you say that? Yo, just go observe her. Like, between 12:40 and 1. Like, just like it's
your
terrible. Yeah.
Your nephew is in a class where the whole class thinks the teacher is racist, and they're 8.
Yo, Emory had
No
personal
name.
Did you go with me to that? Okay, so the kid had his open house, right? Do y'all do open house up there? Yeah. So you go, well, school has already started. School has been in like, oh, y'all got to go.
Tweety, can you come on with us next week?
Yeah, because, yo, I got to tell you this story, how I found out his teacher was racist. It's crazy.
We'll do terrible teachers next week. Just make sure you're available next week, Thursday, 9 to 11. We got to get – oh, Tweety, last question.
Yeah.
If you was fucking somebody and they died, would you continue to get your nut off, or would you get off right away and call the paramedics?
What the heck? Yo, don't it go down when you die? Like, what's happening?
No, it stays up. New York, you got to stop smoking. That was a bad call. All right, let's get out of here, man. It's been fun tonight. We had a good conversation. We had way too much gang talk, gang versus police talk tonight. But I enjoyed it. I'm glad. Look, I know a bunch of people from all walks of life. I love it when my friends get together who don't know each other and have an honest conversation because everyone was respectful. Like, if you think about, like, this type of conversation, this is why we did do the offering, because this type of conversation in the streets or on the internet gets really disrespectful. You get a lot of different type of things. But the conversation tonight was from two of my homies from two different walks of life having a good, honest conversation. And the funny thing is, since they didn't put their real names out there, if I got them both together with a blunt, they would have an amazing conversation, and I would just sit there and drink whiskey. Like, I would not be involved in the conversation. Maybe one day we'll make that happen, man. But it's been a good talk tonight. Definitely enjoyable. The night flew by. I can't believe we are 1 minute away from 11 o'clock already. So, DJ Cesari, you got anything to say to the people before we roll?
Good night.
Kendrick Lamar coming out tomorrow. Blur, what you got?
Yeah, everybody, thanks for a great conversation, great night. Cat Williams, one of the top 5 comedians of all time, drops his new special, I think, Tuesday on Netflix, man. Everybody go check that out, stream it. Let's talk about it next week. The new Cat Williams, man, it's got to be the funniest thing to come out in a while. I hope Kendrick Lamar performs because the other 3 big hitters have all flopped. Drake was whack. J. Cole was whack. Hopefully Kendrick put some out.
Hold on. Who are the other 3 big hitters?
No.
I just want to know the 3. I know J. Cole. I know Drake. Who's the third?
I was counting. Kanye.
Wow, you think all 3 of them flops? It's amazing. New York, floor is yours.
All I'm saying is I like the conversation. I like the debate. I live for that. Yeah. Just link us up together with anybody. I appreciate the debate. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to learn stuff for myself. I'm growing as an individual. So, yeah, I appreciate everything, the space that you've given, and the open opportunity for conversation. Other than that, yeah, live life, learn more, and be blessed.
New York wanted with anybody. If you die, fuck you. We out till next week.